Begin the current daf Masech the Bava Basra daf Zayin. Begin on the bottom of Avov Mabez, two lines up at the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues on a related discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara was discussing what's known as Hechashcheinim, the halachas of neighbors in regards to when one is on a higher level than the other. So that the Gemara continues with the following incident. Hanu Beit Trei da Habadari. There were these two individuals that lived in an apartment. Chad Habadari Eloi, one lived on the upper story, but Chad Habadari Tetoi, one lived on the lower story. These were two brothers that when they split the apartment building, one took the second floor and one took the first floor, the ground floor. Now, so says the Gemara, Itver Tetoi. Now, the lower floor started caving in, meaning that the walls of the bottom started sinking into the ground until the floor of the second story was sinking that low that the one on the bottom floor couldn't even enter into his apartment unless he bent over. So the guy in the first floor said to his brother on the second floor, come, let's go, let's demolish the whole house. There's something wrong with the structure. It's sinking into the ground, and let's rebuild it. So the brother on the second floor said, I don't know what your problem is. I'm dwelling very good. My house, my apartment is very convenient. Actually, now I even need less steps to get to my apartment. So as the Gemara continues on top of Zayin and Aleph, the other brother said to him, Istari anov ivnai. So I get it, I understand. For you, everything is as is. I'm the one with the problem. So you know what? I'll destroy the house and I'll rebuild it for my own funds. So the brother on the second story said to him, but Leslie Duchta Lemedaba, where am I going to live in the time when you're rebuilding the house? So the brother said to him, don't worry, I'm not Agilach Duchta. Don't worry, not only will I pay for the reconstruction of the whole house, but I'll rent for you a place in the meantime. So the brother on the second story said, I don't want to go through that effort of moving out all my stuff, getting the truck, coming and going. So the other brother said to him, but look to Matardali, but he says, but I don't have anywhere to live because of your second story. If you don't let me go ahead and destroy the house and rebuild it, I know you don't want to go through the effort of living somewhere else, but I have nowhere to live then. So the brother said to him, look, shuf akrisich, bend over until you're by your belly, vul, and go in. And bend over on your belly and go out, meaning if the walls are so low that you can't get into the apartment, just bend over. So Amar Rav Chama said, and that's going to be, we're going to have many of his halachas all the way till Amar Beis and these types of topics, said, Bedina Kamaakif. So the brother in the second story, according to the basic law, could stop the other brother from trying to destroy the building to rebuild it. Because, so you have a problem, what does that have to do with me? My apartment is as it is, and I'm allowed to not let you destroy it, to rebuild it. Now, but says the Gemara, but that's only if the beams of the floor of the second story don't reach Lamata Me'asara, that the walls don't sink that much in, that even the floor of the second story would be less than 10 fachim. Because Abu Matu Keshur Lamata Me'asara, but if the beams of the second story floor would reach all the way below 10 tefachim, then Matzi Amalei, then the brother from the first floor could tell him, no, Lamata Me'yud Rishusa Didihu. Lower than 10 tefachim is already my domain. And that's not indebted to you, and therefore you have no rights to have your floor in my airspace, and therefore that is something that you're required to now service for me, and then we could destroy the whole house and rebuild it. Now, moreover, says the Gemara, this whole halacha that we were saying from Reb Chama is only if they had not made a stipulation before they made in contract that you get the second story and I get the first floor. Aval asnu gabe adodi, but if when they split it, they made the stipulation that if the second story is gonna get lower down, that then they're gonna destroy the house and rebuild it. Because let's say they knew that it's on wetlands or whatever it is, then susfibani, then yes, then it doesn't have to go to low 10 fachim. Then even if it's just sinking in a little bit, then they could the first floor brother could demand that they destroy it and rebuild the house. Now on that halacha, the Gemara asks. So b'chiyasna b'hadde adodi. So if they did agree and they wrote in the contract beforehand this stipulation, so ad kama, how much does the second story floor have to sink in that then he could force the upper story brother to destroy the house and rebuild it? So Amr Rabbanu Kamei Rabba Mishmei de Mazutra Berei Rav Nachman. The Amr Mishmei de Rav Nachman said this halacha. The Amr Rav Nachman, it's ka'isha shashanin. It's like that we learned in the Mishnah and Perek Hamoicher Peiris and Avtzat Chesam and Beis, which talks about if someone accepted a contract from his friend to build him a house. So that the Mishnah says, what are the dimensions? When he accepted, he's getting paid to build a house. What are those dimensions? They have to be rumay kechatzi arkei vechatzi rachbay. The height has to be like the half of the total of the length and of the width of that building. which that follows the structure of the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash, where the length was 40 amas, the width was 20 amas, which is a total of 60. Half of that is 30. That's what the height of the Heichal was. That's the dimension. So how do you know if it sank in and that he could force him to rebuild it? Well, if the height is less than half of the length and the width, well, then that's not enough for an apartment, and then he could force him to destroy it and rebuild it. That Amar Rabba. Rabba said to them, Lava min l'chu, didn't I tell you, Leititlu bebuki sruki b'Rav Nachman, that you should not blame these empty pitchers, in other words, words that have no understanding, on Rav Nachman. Don't say that's what Rav Nachman said, that that's the halacha of how much it sinks in. That's a different halacha. That's when you're building a house. That's the original dimensions you have to make. But that's not the criterion over here for how much do we say if it sank in that he has to force him to destroy it and rebuild it. Rather, halacha on Rav Nachman says, this is what Rav Nachman said in this halacha. He said, ki d'dayru inchi, how people live. If it's not what's called bakveint, if it's not how normal people would live, it's already starting to sink in. That's enough of a grounds for him to destroy it and to rebuild the house, even though the second story is very comfortable how he is. Now, ask the Gemara of a Kaman, how much is that? What's the dimensions of how a person is usually comfortable? It's that he should be allowed to bring into his apartment a bundle of long reeds of mechuzah, vahadr, and to turn around, meaning that it could move around in all directions. You're bringing something home. If you bang your head in because you're bringing something in, that's not how people live. You have to be able to be that if you can bring in this big package of long reeds, and it's not going to hit anything no matter which direction it goes, that's the amount. If it's less than that, then you can force them to have to destroy it and rebuild the whole house. Another incident, again with Rav Chama. Ahu gavr dav bani ashisa, notes on these topics. There's a certain person that built a wall, achayri kavi dechavri, right behind his friend's window. So Malay, so the guy who had the house with the window says, kamaflas lai, you're darkening my window. Now you put the wall right by my window, I can't see anything anymore. So Malay, so the guy who was building the wall said, okay, secharna lachacha, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to block up your window over here with bricks and cement. We're going to close up your window. Vavidna loch kavi le'il mashisoy, and I'm going to make for you a new window above my wall, meaning my wall only goes a certain height, your wall continues further up. I'll make for you a new window higher up, so then you'll get the light in your house from a higher skylight. You'll get light somewhere else. This window I'm going to have to close, but I'll make you a window higher up. So Amalei, so the guy said to him, but you're going to be ruining my wall, because when you're going to be opening up a new window higher up on my wall, you're going to make the wall shake, because you're going to be banging and carving into the wall. It's going to cause a little rupture in the wall strength. Samalei, so the guy who was making the wall said, no problem. Sasar nalach lashisach. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm gonna cut off from your wall the top part of your wall, ad duchta dechavi, until the place where I'm gonna make for you the new window, ubeninala, and then I'll build it fresh from there. I'm gonna build you. When you're putting a window in construction, it's very different than when you have construction and you break open to put in a window. He says, don't worry. What I'll do for you is we'll cut off that part of the wall. I'll make new wall for you. And in that new wall, I already have made in the construction of the window, which that won't harm trying to bang in to make a hole for a window, because it'll be built around that. So the guy still said, look, ashisa mitatoy atika. What's going to happen is, that means the lower part of my wall is going to be an older wall. Then from the upper part of my wall, you're going to be making a new wall. Loikaima, it's not going to stand like that, because the new cement will not attach very well with the old cement that's on the old part of the wall, and therefore it's not going to last. Something's going to cave in. So Amalei, so the guy making the wall said, okay, fine, you know what I'll do for you? Sesarnula adla ara ubaninla. So I'll demolish that whole wall, and I'll rebuild it. Now I'll make this new window in the new construction on the upper part of your wall, which you'll get your light, and it'll be higher than the wall that I'm building. So Malay, so the guy of the house still said, no. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to have one new wall. Bekula beis atika. And all the other walls of the house are old. Like Kaima, the house is not going to stand anymore. You can't have one new wall with three old walls. So Malay, the guy said, okay. I'll demolish your whole entire house. I'll build a whole new house for you, and in this new wall that's right by my wall, I'll build you a window on the top. Amalei, so the guy still said, no. Leslie Duchte Lemedebo. Fine, great, you build me a whole new house. Where am I going to live during construction? How long construction takes? So Amalei, so he said to him, I'll rent you an apartment. I don't want to go through the effort. Well, I'm going to have to schlep all my stuff out, change my address. I don't want to go through the effort. So Rav Chama, he says, as in the similar, the previous incident, but then Kama'akib, he could stop the guy from doing that because this guy already had a chazaka on getting wind, getting light into his window. This guy wants to take that away, so he's trying to compensate him, but I don't want to because I'm going to have to move out. Even at the end of the line, you're going to build me a whole new house. I don't want to go through that effort. Says Rav Chama, the guy could stop the guy from making the wall. And the Gemara asks, "Hainu hach." This is really essentially the same halachic chiddush of Rav Chama as the previous incidents of Bahasu Lamali. Why did we have to say this new halacha from Rav Chama? They're both Torah halachas that we know, and that if one of that person who has those rights says no, he couldn't stop the other person. Even if the guy wants to bend over backwards to assist him, says no, I don't want to go through that effort. So that says the Gemara, Hakam Ashulam, what we're learning from this incident is, the avagav dule mishtamish elativna ubeitzivi ba'alma. Even if this guy who has the house through the window, he didn't live over there. All he had that he stored over there was straw and wood. Still, he could say, I don't want to go through the effort of having to move my straw and my wood. I'm busy all day. I don't want to have to be busy with transporting the stuff and moving them and moving it back when you finish building me a whole new house. And I want light in my storage house. Even that, he could stop the other guy from building his wall. Another incident. Again with Rav Chama. Hanu Beitreachi, there were these two brothers, the Palgiba Bahadde Hadadi, that they split their father's inheritance. Chad Matya Ispalida, one of them took from the father's inheritance a mansion. The Chad Matya Tarbitza, one of them took this garden that's on the side of the mansion, which was made as a beautiful sight that you see in the mansion, which the sunlight comes in, you see the beautiful gardens. One brother took the garden, one brother took the mansion. Now, Azal Hahud de Matya Tarbitza, so the brother who got the garden for the inheritance, he went, he went and built a wall by the edge of his garden, right by the mansion, blocking between the mansion and the garden. So the brother of the mansion said to the garden brother, he says, "Come aflis alai, you're darkening my whole thing, now you blocked all my windows by your wall in the garden." So the brother of the garden said, "Bididiko benina, I'm building it on my part." Now, moreover, why this is different than the previous Gemara's incident is, here you don't have a chazaka of the tashmish of utility of light coming through your windows, which would be required for 3 years when it comes to karka, because we're only dividing it right now. You never had any previous rights over here to this light coming in your window. You want this, I'm taking this, I could build a wall. You never had any chazakas. In the previous Gemara was a guy who lived there many years and the guy wants to build a wall. That guy already has chazakas already of using his window. You can't just block his light. But here, this is when they're starting to divide it. It says, I'm building on my property. I could build my wall even though you're not going to get any light. I'm Rav Chama. So Rav Chama said, Bidin Kamale. And according to the law, he's right. He's telling him that he's allowed to build it on his part of the wall even though it's going to darken all these guys' windows in this mansion. Now, on that asks the Gemara, Omale Ravinul Ravash, he says, but why? Maishna Mahadatanya, why is it different than that what we learned in the Braisa? The Braisa says, Shnei Achan Shechalku, when two brothers split the father's inheritance. Echad mehen notl sod the kerem, one of the brothers took a field of a vineyard. The Echad mehen notl sod the love, and the other brother took a field of grain. So the halacha says, the Braisa is Yeshli Labal HaKerem, so the brother who took the vineyard has Dalar Amis Besod the love, and he gets a right of four Amis in the field grain which borders his vineyard, to be able to use that area, having to have his oxen go there and plow on the perimeter of his vineyard. And why, says the Braisa? Shalmanaske in Chalku, because it was that with that intention that they split the two different fields. Because what do you mean? A vineyard, I need to have an area around it to plow. So though, yes, you gave me the vineyard and you took the grain field, it was understandable that, but it was with the needs of the vineyard, which is a little bit of part of your land on your grain field. And therefore here also asks the Gemara, he should not be allowed to build this wall right by the guy's mansion, because obviously part of taking a mansion was to get the lights inside, to get from the sunlight. And therefore, why is it any different when, although he's taking the vineyard, he gets somewhat of rights in the guy's field? Here also, that should include not allowing this guy to build a wall right by this guy's windows. Amalei, so that Ravashi answered to Ravina, Hasim de Olu Lahadodi. That price is different, because there, the owner of the vineyard compensated the owner, the brother that took the grain of the field of grain, the value difference, where obviously a vineyard is worth more value than a grain field. So therefore, when he compensated him and he gave him that difference, obviously he was purchasing now with that difference a vineyard where with the whole utility of a vineyard, which is the ability to be able to work in the area around it. So that's why he gets the area around it. Now, which the Gemara asks, Abul Hachamai, so what are you saying? But here, what was the case? That they didn't figure out and assess how much is each brother taking and to give that discrepancy to the brother that's getting less? What? Are we dealing with fools? The high shakal is believed that this guy takes a mansion, the high shakal tarbitza, and this guy takes a garden, and they didn't give the difference of the money to the guy who's taking a garden? What does that mean? How are you answering that the case of the vineyard is different because there he compensated him? Why am I getting the vineyard and he gets the field of grain? Because I paid him the difference. So part of the getting the vineyard means, okay, that I could also do the work for it. So then why don't you say the same thing over here by the mansion? He obviously gave the difference of the price from the garden to the mansion to the brother of the garden. So that should include the full utility of a mansion, which includes not letting the guy build walls so that he could have sunlight. So that Amalei, and that he said to him, you're right. Nihida alu lahadodi, although that they evaluated the difference of demei livni kishuri v'hudri in the actual item of the bricks and of the beams and of the thinner beams, that they qualify how much is the actual value of the mansion. Certain amount of money. The bricks cost a certain amount. Contrast to a garden is worth less. But the value of the air, of the sunlight, that they didn't evaluate. That wasn't part of their differential. And therefore, that doesn't give the owner of the mansion rights to not let this guy put up a wall in his garden. But the Gemara still asks, but Valemele, let the mansion brother tell the garden brother, Me'ikara ispalida palgisli. When we divided the inheritance, we sat down at the table, we said that I'm getting a mansion and you're getting a garden. Now, hashta mashvis li idrunya. Now, it's not a nispalida anymore. It's not a mansion. It's a dark room. And I only gave you extra money to get, quote, the mansion yet, which is only the bricks and etc. But now it's not a mansion anymore. It's a dark room. It doesn't have the same title anymore as a mansion. So that itself should not allow him to build a wall. That Amar Shimi Bar Ashi says, no, it's not true. Shma ba'alma polygly. When they divided by name. I get a garden, you get a mansion. Now, if it's called a mansion, even though it's not like other mansions because it's a dark room, it still doesn't make it not a mansion anymore. As the Gemara says, Mila Tanya, didn't we learn the Braisa? Someone tells someone else, I'm selling you an area of a base core of earth, meaning that measurement of land. Says the Braisa, Afa Pisha Eina Ela Lesach, even if it's only half of that, even if it's only a Lesach, Higiyo, the sale is valid. Why? He didn't sell him literally a base core offer. He sold him what it's called. It was called a base core offer, even though it really only has half of that. Because Behud Miskari, base core, as long as it was called on the market, that's what it was always called. So then, if as long as it has called that, then it's considered a valid sale. So to Pardesani Meichelech. Let's say someone says, I'm selling you an orchard. Afa Pisha Imba Yermain, even though it's not even one pomegranate, Higiyah, it's a valid sale. Shleimachala Elishma, he sells him a name. Behud Miskari Pardes, and it's called an orchard, even though there's nothing growing over there, but it's Solomon's orchard. So therefore, it's a valid sale. So to Karamani Meichelech, he says, I'm going to sell you a vineyard. Even if there's not even one grapevine there, it's a valid sale. He sold him a name. And it's called a vineyard. That's what this was. It was always a vineyard. I'm selling you a vineyard. That's a valid sale. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's the same thing over here, where as long as it's a mansion, even though it's not the same as a mansion because it doesn't have the utility of a mansion, but it's called a mansion, therefore, he can't have any complaints about the guy putting up the wall and blocking out his sunlight. The Gemara responds, me dummy? Can you compare the two cases? Hasam, there in the case of the Braisa, Matzi Amalei Moichel Lekech, the seller could tell the consumer, Shma Zvinilach, I sold you a name, I sold you a base core, I sold you a kerem, I sold you a paradis. But Hacha Matzi Amalei, but here the brother that bought the mansion could tell the brother the garden, Adaiti Dahachi Palgi, my intention when we split this was was that I'm going to live in it the way our father lived over there. Our father would never have lived with a dark room. He had a beautiful mansion, and that's what I took. Now when you're building a wall, it's not the way it was, and therefore, says the Gemara, that shouldn't be a comparison to the Braisa. He, again, contending with Rav Chama's halacha, he should not be allowed to build that wall. That Amrlei, that they said to him, as you continue to Medbeis, who's they who said to him, was Mar Yenuku Umar Kashisha, who berated Rav Chizda, who were the sons of Rav Chizda. They said, Rav Ashi, that Nehardai, Rav Chama, who was from Neharda, does not hold of your contention of this complaint where he the owner, the man, the brother of the mansion wants to say, but I intended to live here the way our father lived over here, and for that we split it, you shouldn't be allowed to put it on the wall. Rav Chama, who does not agree to that, is because he's going litamayhu according to the opinions of the Nahardians, which is the halacha that Shmuel, who is also from Narda. As we find, the Amr of Nachman, the Rav Nachman said, the Amr Shmuel, that Shmuel said, and therefore Rav Chama, who is also Nahardian, was following that line of reasoning, that Achen Shecholku, brothers who split an inheritance, so let's say one brother takes a field in the north, and the other brother takes a field in the south. And the father, when he owned both fields, what he used to do was that he would take and transport, when he needed to get to the northern field, he would go through the southern field and bring things to the northern field. When the brother split, and now he takes the northern field, he takes the southern field, Ein lahen loy derech zelzeh. They don't have neither rights to go through, let's say, one brother's field to get to the other field. Although that's how the father used to do it, and that was the complaint that Rav Ashi was asking on Rav Chama. Rav Chama doesn't hold that that's a contention, because he actually holds that they don't have those rights that the father used to have in his own fields. They don't have derech zelze, v'loy chaloy nezelze. Neither do they have a right to complain about the closing up of the light, which is exactly the halacha of Rav Chama, which is that although he's blocking his light in the mansion, that doesn't make a difference. There's no rights regarding windows, v'loy salom nezelze. Neither are there any rights regarding ladders, regarding how to get. If let's say one brother took a house and the courtyard, the other brother took the second story of the house, he cannot put a ladder in that courtyard to be able to get up to his second story, because you have no rights. You have a rights to the second story. Jump and get there. I don't know, but you can't put a ladder in my courtyard. Even though the father always had a ladder to get to the second story. Neither do they have rights regarding if to bring water from the stream, which always used to go through one field to get to the other field. Now he can't do that anymore. He has no rights to have to use the other brother's field to get water to his field. And says Shmuel, Vizoru behem, be careful with these things, shahalachis kavusin, because these are established halachas, that there's no rights that the brothers have one on the other. And that's what the logic Rav Chama was going with. But Rav Amma, he says, yes, and he disagrees with this halacha. He says, no, they do have. However the father used to do it, the brothers have the rights that was always previously there, and one brother cannot just block off the other brother now that he has that area, not allowing the other brother to go through there to get what he needs. Now the Gemara continues with the fourth halacha from Rav Chama. Hahu shtar d'yasmin. There was a certain document from orphans that they had a collection document for themselves to collect from someone else. The nafik aleho tavra, that there was a receipt that was produced which showed that this deed that they wanted to collect from others was already paid up to their father. So Amar Rav Chama says, agvuyu lemigvinile, so we don't allow the orphans to collect with it, but umikra lekarinle, neither do we tear up the document, as he explains. Agvuyu lemigvinile, we don't let them collect with it because the nafik tavra aleho, because there's a receipt that shows it was already paid up. But mikra lekarinle, but neither do we then tear up the document, because the chigad liyasmi, because when these orphans become adults, when they become older, dilma maisirayu marali, maybe they're going to bring a proof and disprove the receipt to show that actually it was forged and there's false witnesses on it, and now they're just they're minors, so they don't know how to do that. Therefore, we don't tear it up, but neither do we collect with it. So that the Gemara says, amale rav acha bereid rav l'ravina, says hilchas amai. The halacha regarding this previous amid up until this point, where we had four different halachas from Rav Chama, what is the halacha? So Amalei said to him, "Bekulu hilchas like Rav Chama, and all those four halachas, the halachas like Rav Chama, lebar mitavra, except for this last one regarding the receipt, the sahadi b'shikul lemecheskina. We do not assume that witnesses on the document are liars, and therefore we are going to tear up their document so that they don't use it without let's say that person's receipt being brought into court. They might use it inappropriately. So since we assume that it was paid up because of the receipt, and we don't assume that they are false witnesses, we tear up their document." Now, Mazut Bridr of Mariam, he says, no, even in this halach is like Rav Chama, because the im isa de tavra ma'alya, because if you really entertain that it is a kosher receipt, and that, like you're saying, that we don't assume that it's false witnesses, so then it should have been produced when their father was still alive. If it's saying this receipt that this debt was paid up to their father already, and therefore the document is not valid anymore, then why wasn't it produced when the father was still alive? From the fact that it didn't come out when he was alive, and now it's only coming out when the orphans who don't know anything about their father's assets, but they have his deeds to collect with, and only now is it coming out, we could entertain to say that it was forged, and therefore we do not tear it, and rather we hold on to it till they become adults to be able to disprove that receipt. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this theme of the Mishnahis of this parak so far, talking about the partnership that partners, that different residents of that courtyard have in their responsibility to the other residents of the courtyard. So the Mishnah tells us, Kleifenai say, we force a member of the courtyard who, let's say, does not want to assist the other members of the courtyard in the residential requirements of that association of the courtyard. Livnois Baishar, so we force him first of all to build a gatehouse, which is where the guard with a guard stands outside in front of the courtyard so that he could have shade to sit over there. And the reason why they have a guard over there is to keep the people from the street at a distance so that they don't look into the courtyard, which again could cause harm, as we've been talking about Hezek Re'iyah, the harm that could come about visually looking at other people's things. And also for Videlis, we force them to assist in providing for a door, which is for the gate of the courtyard to be able to lock it. L'chatzer, these are requirements that we force them to put towards the needs of the courtyard. Now, Reb Shimon Gamliel, he disagrees. He says, "Loikal chatzeris ruus lebeishar." It's not every courtyard is fit for a house for the guard, and therefore you can't force him in those situations to contribute. Like Gemara will explain which one is one that is appropriate, that then we do force him to contribute towards the beishar. Similar halacha, kaifa nice live nice leir. We force a resident of the city to build for the city a chayma, a wall. But the lasayim and these double doors opening up to the city, uvriach and a bolt. Now, Shimon Lilemi here too, he disagrees. He says, "Lo kol hayaris ruis lachem." And not every city is fit to have a wall. And in those times, you can't force them to contribute towards a wall. Now, explains the Mishnah, kamiyeh behir. How long does a person have to be in the city v'yehikan she'ir that he'll be considered like part of the members of the city that he then has to carry and contribute towards the responsibilities of the city inhabitants, like we said regarding building a wall and so on. Says the Mishnah, Yud Beis Chaydish, if he's there already for 12 months, he's considered already like a constituent and therefore he has to contribute. Now, but Kanaba Beis Dira, but if he already purchased an apartment, Hariya Kanshi Irmiyad, he automatically becomes like a member of the city to contribute towards the expenses of the city, of the municipality. Now, ask the Gemara, what it sounds like from the opening halacha of our Mishnah is Lememr de Beishar Mal Yasihi. It sounds like that having a gatehouse is a benefit for the people of that courtyard, and therefore we could actually force one of the other members to contribute towards that. That is the Gemara, but Bahu Chassid, there was a certain pious man, always used to come and talk with him. Avad Beishar, but then once he made a gatehouse for his courtyard, and then no more did Eliyahu HaNavi come to talk with him. And the reason for that is because now that he has a gatehouse, it interposes between him, who he's on the inside and comfortable in his courtyard, from the poor people who are begging and screaming on the outside, because now he doesn't hear them anymore. So Eliyahu HaNavi stopped coming to him. So you see, it's not a good thing. So how can we force another member of the courtyard to have to contribute towards the Beishar? So Sizig Moloi Kasha, many different approaches. Either Hamigavai, the story with the Chassid was when that he made the Beishar inside the courtyard. Now that's not good, because here the you can have the door of the courtyard that's closed. And when the pauper is screaming, you have more than that, you have another layer, you have the gatehouse inside that's really interrupting his voice, and you don't hear the poor screaming on the outside. Hamivrai, in the Aram Mishnah, was talking about where the gatehouse is on the outside. Now that doesn't block the pauper, because he could come inside that Beishar, because we're talking about that there's no door over there. And so the only thing that there is the gate of the courtyard, that you'll still hear. Or v'ibay same, if you want, you could say, no, both cases, our Mishnah and that story was talking about where the gatehouse is on the outside. But Lakash is still not a difficulty. Hadis le'delis, because by that chassid, not only did he have a beishar, but he also made a door. So the door, now he can't come into the beishar, and there's the gate of the courtyard. So now those two barriers, you're not going to hear him. Hadalas like Dallas. Our Mishnah was talking when there's no door, so there's a beis shar, so the guard is going to be cool because he's in he has shade, but the pauper could come into that area. Or Ibaisim, if you want, you could say Havahad de Islay Dallas. No, the both cases were talking about that there was a door, but the Lekash is still not difficult. Had de Islay Pesaches, because by that Chassid there was a door with a lock, so he couldn't get in. Hadalas like Pesaches. Our Mishnah was talking that there's a door, but there's no lock, so he could come in. So the only barrier, again, is still just the gate of the courtyard. Or you might say more if you want, you could say, both of them are talking about that there's a door and there's a lock, and it's still not a difficulty. Because by that chassid, the lock was from the inside, so it cannot be opened from the outside, so the pauper can't get in. Ha, the Pesachas de Mivroi, Amish was talking about when the lock is on the outside and the key is inside, and therefore the pauper could open it up and go in, and therefore again, since there's only going to be one barrier, you'll still hear him, that's a Malyusa. But in that story of the Chassid, where the pauper can't get in, you're not going to hear him anymore. Eliyahu never didn't like that, and now the poor are going to scream, and you're not going to hear them anymore, and you're not going to be able to give them charity. So the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that said, so you could force one of the people of that courtyard to build a gatehouse and a door for the chatzar. But Rav Shimon Malu disagreed, and he says, no, not every courtyard is it fit for. So Tanya, we learn the Braisa that explains this opinion. Rav Shimon Malu, he says, not every courtyard is fit to have a gatehouse that you could force one of the members to chip in. Only a courtyard that's near the public domain, that's fit for a beishar, because there people are right there and they can look in, so you need to have a guard that's standing right there not letting people look in. But if it's not right near the public domain, where it's a little bit off from the main street, then it's not fit to require a guardhouse, and therefore you can't force one of the members to assist over there. Now, for Rabbanan, but Tanakama, they held zimne dedachki b'nei rishus harabim ba'ayla ba'asur. No, it's still fit, and therefore they could force him to assist in building the beishar. Because many times the street gets so full and people move over onto the edges, and then they'll move to the side or part, the more side parts, and they'll see in, and therefore even there it's fit to have a beishar. Next halacha of the Mishnah was kaifenais livnais li'ir v'chulu. So a member of the city, we could force him to build certain things for the city. And again, Rav Shmuel disagreed, and he says not every city is fit to have these things like a wall. So Tana Bun learned the Braisa that the Tanakama held. We could force a person to make for a city these double doors and these bolts. But Rav Shimon Lilam, he says, no. Not every city is fit to have a wall. A city that's near the boundary, near the border of the neighboring countries, so they're fit to have a wall. But if it's not near the boundary, then this city doesn't need to have walls because it's already protected on the perimeter by the other cities that are from neighboring the other countries. But Rabbanan, they would tell you, Zimna de Mikri ba'asa geiser. No, at times it could happen that marauding troops could come in not just on the boundaries, and therefore every city should be protected, and therefore we could force the constituents to contribute on the wall, even if they're not by the boundaries. Now, Boyumine Ribalazim Rabbi Yechon. Rabbalazza asked from Yechon the following question. Kishahin Gaivin, when they collect for this halacha, the Mishnah, whether it's every city or only by the border, to make a wall for the city, lefi nefashas gaivin, how do they collect? How do you make the members contribute towards this association? Is it according to numbers of people? Eidim lefi shvach mamon gaivin, or do you qualify based on their financial status? That is according to the amount of money, that's how much a person has to contribute. So Amalei, Rabbi Yechon said to him, lefi mamon gaivin, you collect according to the amount of money that a person has. And he told him, Elazar b'ni, my son Elazar, kivaba b'masmaris. I want you to establish this with nails. In other words, I want you to be careful to judge like this and not to deviate from this halacha. Exactly like I told it to you, it has to be according to the person's financial status. Ikadami, those say a different version. The b'yimenei Rebbelazar b'yechon, Rebbelazar had asked from b'yechonon the following way. He said, kishen gaivin when they collect. Lefi kirv batim hen gaivin. Do they collect according to the distance of the house from the edge of the city, because really the house that's closer to the edge of the city needs to have the wall of the city more than one who's further away from the perimeter. So do you go based on element of danger? That's how you collect? Or maybe you collect according to the financial status of the people. So Malaysa, he said to him in this version, you collect according to how close the house is to the perimeter. My son Elazar, kavaba masmaris. I want you to attach it with nails that don't deviate from this halacha. It has to be exactly according to their distance of the danger area. Now, relating to this halacha of the members of the city contributing to the protection of the city, like the walls, Rabbi Huda the Nasiya, Rama Deshura Adrabanan. He imposed the expenses of the wall of the city on the Tamid Chacham, on the sages in that city, like all other members of the city. On that, Rish Lakish said, Rabbanon leitzricha niterusa, rabbis don't need protection, and therefore they shouldn't have to contribute towards the wall. The chesiv, like it says, the pasuk in Tehillim, says, Esperim, Hashem says, I will count them, mechol yirbun, they're more than the sand. Now, says the Gemara, Esperim laman, who's Hashem counting? If you think it's for the righteous, now the reason why we'd assume it's that, as Taisa says, is because the pasuk beforehand says that he's talking about those who he cherishes, who are the righteous people. Now that the question is, the righteous are more than the sand? If all the Jewish people, the pasuk says in Bereishis, they're like the sand at the edge of the sea, where they're only like the sand in the sea. So tzaddikim atzma mechol yibun, so the righteous who are the minority of the Jewish people, they're going to be more than the sand? If even the whole Jewish people are only like the sand, how can you say the righteous are more than the sand? Rather, what's the pasuk saying? Is esprim l'maseh mishal tzaddikim. Hashem says, if I'm going to count the acts of righteousness of the righteous, mechol yibun, they'll be more than the sand in the world. Now, and therefore it says Rosh Lakish as a kavochema. If sand, which is less than the actions of the righteous, Megan Aliyam, it protects from the sea, where it's like a wall protecting from the waves of the sea, as the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Shesamti Chil Gvul Yam, I made, says Hashem, the sand a boundary for the sea. So Masem Shel Tzadikim Shemerubim, so the actions of the righteous, which is more than the sand of the sea, like Kolshagan Shemagin Malim, isn't it all the more so that it's going to protect from the elements, and therefore righteous people don't need protection. Their tzidkus, their Torah learning is what protects them. And therefore you cannot put those demands on the righteous. They don't have to contribute towards the protection of the city. Now, when Rosh Lakish came in front of Rabbi Yechanan, so Amalei, so Rabbi Yechanan said to him, "My time aloy tem aloy maha, why didn't you bring him a different pasuk from Shir HaShirim?" The pasuk says, "Ani chayma, I am a wall, v'shodai kamad gelos, and my breasts are like towers." What does that mean? Ani chayma, I am a wall, zu tayru, that's the Torah. Now, v'shodai kamigdalis, and my breasts are like towers, which is what manifests itself from the wall, as we continue the top of Chesem and Alf, elu tamid ha-chacham, those are the Talmudic scholars, which obviously, because they don't need a wall, they're towers in themselves. So you see, says Rabbi Yechon, another good source, to say that tamid ha-chacham don't need a wall, which, and here it's almost better, because here it's talking about explicitly about having a wall protection. And that says the Gemara, Rish Lakish Shavala Kedidarish Rava, but Rish Lakish didn't bring him from that pasuk in Shir HaShirim because he expounded that pasuk differently like Rava expounded it. That he expounded it, Ani Chayma, that when it says, I am a wall, Zu Knesses Yisrael, that's a reference to the Jewish people, where all of them together are the same in regards to being a wall, where they block themselves off from having the influences from the social world, from the non-Jews, from being influenced. And Bishadei Kamigdalis, and that my breasts are like towers, Elo Batakinesis, the Batamidrashes, those are the towers explicitly for protection from the outside influences, are the shuls and the study halls. And that's why I didn't bring a raya from that pasuk, but rather from the other pasuk to prove that Tamina Chachamim don't need to contribute towards the protection of the city.